Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Christine Williams.
You're listening to Fiber Talk, that twice-weekly podcast. This being the midweek version of that twice-weekly podcast for people who play with needles.
Are not tattoo needles or hypodermic needles.
No. The positive, constructive needles. Yes.
Well, tattoo needles are not positive, constructive needles.
Yeah, that's true. I take offense. I didn't hear the tattoo part, so. and actually, you could make an argument that hypodermics are positive, too.
Exactly. So. Exactly.
Okay, so that's a rabbit hole that isn't worth exploring anymore, right?
No, mm-hmm. Let's stop that.
Yep. So, got to get in another plug for Michelle Garrett and her Charities of the Month. Fantastic thing she's doing. Still November, so still the dyspraxia, apraxia, charity. And, she says to me today, recording on Monday for the Wednesday show, that, their total so far they've raised $616 through all of her auctions. And this week, the week that this show is coming, is getting posted, they will have one of the auction items is a retreat spot for the Addicted Sisters Retreat in Iowa in July.
That's cool.
So, yeah, these retreat spots, since these retreats are selling out like before they even post them, when a spot comes up, that's worth jumping on if you're interested. So she has that amongst her other things. And we're recording on Monday, so her weekly podcast or web FlossTube video is Tuesday. At least it has been. So don't know what else she has, but if you watch Bendy Stitchy on YouTube, FlossTube, you get to see what else she has up for auction. And she's running, I think, all the auctions through her Instagram page. So that's where you bid on them and so on and so forth. But again, the fact that she's doing these charities and raising money for all of these things is just huge. I really applaud her. And then in this case, her friend Heather, the Imperfectly Perfect Stitcher, also involved because her child has this apraxia affliction. And so... help her out too, because she's the one that does the needle minders and other things that we did for the Alzheimer's walk that Michelle did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So again, links for this podcast on the page to Michelle's October 30 video where she explains it all, and then she has in that video Heather talks about what it's like as a parent to have a child with this apraxia. And what it all entails in terms of raising the child and therapy and everything. So listen to that. You think your life's pretty crappy? Listen to that, and you'll learn that. Be happy with yourself, because she really she is. How she told that story, I don't know, without losing it, is impressive. But parenting challenge above and beyond, and. This can be helped. These kids with the iPad and the tablet and the app can communicate, and it's so cool that the technology can help them communicate. So to hear that hear that story from Heather in that video is worth it, and it will really give you an appreciation for when somebody says so and so has apraxia, what that means. Mm-hmm. And then also will be the link from Flissy Fish Cross Stitcher, who is an adult. Who has it, and then through therapy and everything has managed to get control of it, though it still affects her life every minute, every day. But she explains how it affects her life and how she has dealt with it. So that's worth seeing, too. So all of those things will help you understand why Michelle is taking a month and raising money for this cause, because it's certainly worth it. So, yes. Yeah, I get hung up on this, one, because like I said a couple weeks ago, our pastor's son has this, but I've been really sensitive lately to to kids in school who, you know, I look at, I assume you and me, I mean, I just went through life and, you know, whatever. Marga, my wife, and her Bible study group are helping raise funds on an ongoing basis for a school in our district that is in the middle of a very much less affluent area, surrounded mm-hmm. by areas that are rather affluent and able to do. And what happens there is the schools all around, when there's events, will have PTO or PTA, whatever it is, will have mm-hmm. Dinners for the teachers, and so on and so forth. And then this school gets left out because the parents of the kids at that school are lucky to put food on the table for their family, let alone put together food for teachers. And we're recording this on Monday night, and this week is Teacher Conference Week. And my wife and her Bible study group have been working to help this school out. And one of the things they did tonight, this late afternoon, was they provided dinner through our church for all of these teachers who are there till 8 or 9 o'clock at night doing parent-teacher conferences. And they get an hour for dinner. And normally it would have been they, you know, order out for pizza or bring their own dinner or whatever, because they just have an hour, so they can't just run home. And so then they provided dinner, drinks, the whole shooting match for these teachers. And all the schools are in the surround. It's a big district, one of the biggest in the state. You know, that's all provided by PTO people or parents in all the other schools, but not mm-hmm. this one. And so Marga and company have taken it upon themselves to help the school out. And it's just, you know, these little kids, I mean, she was telling me that they have, there's these, what they call dream teachers. You know, this is why I'm so sensitive to it. Dream teachers. And these dream teachers are a resource for kids who have what they call ACEs. And so if you, like an ACE would be a divorce. Another ACE would be that you witnessed a shooting.
Right,
Know, any number of those things. And these are elementary kids. And, you know, some kids, by the time they're in third or fourth grade, have accumulated half a dozen of these ACEs and need all the help in the world, because they can't, they're kids who just can't come to school and learn. They have all of this massive psychological baggage that they drag to school every day. And, so, you know, so it's just, I'm really proud of, her and her group that they've taken this on and are helping these kids and helping these teachers to do a better job. And, you know, there's just too much of that stuff in this world, and you know, you can only fight the little battles, but every one of them adds up.
And those, you know, I don't think people realize, you know, it's difficult for those kids in those moments, but those are the things that those kids will carry throughout their entire lives. And,
right.
And that make it difficult for them to succeed for the rest of their lives. You know, I have a friend who is a social worker, and his whole area of study is how trauma and difficulty in childhood affects, you know, socioeconomic status as an adult and ability to even just, you know, make your way in the world as an adult. So just giving any kid, you know, a leg up or just an adult that believes in them as a child is just, you know, so invaluable.
Right. Yep.
So all of these little things add up. You know, and it's tiny things. It's tiny things that adults can do for kids that, you know, aren't getting that at home.
Yep. Yeah. Margaret came home tonight after doing this, and she says, you know, people say how blessed they are. And until you see these situations, you have no idea what you're saying. You
know, no.
I'm blessed. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you are, but you, in relation to this, you've got it easy. And so it's just, and that's just it. And Michelle Garrett taking these things on and helping and using our hobby and generosity of hobbyists, of stitchers all over the place who are giving a place at a retreat, charts they don't have a need for, needle minders, whatever it is, to help raise money is just really commendable. I just think it's fantastic. So. Help her out. folks. Help her out. Yes.
And okay, so not to belabor the point, but there's one more thing to add too, and that's that there's one great remedy for when you yourself are having a rough time, and that's to do something kind for someone else.
Yes.
It's remarkable how good that makes you feel, and how much that is a solace for your own self when you're having a bad day. So, you know, there's such there's such comfort in giving to another person. So
yes.
It goes both ways there too.
Yep. Yeah. I just think it, yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. We're going to move on because we could talk about this all day long. I mean, mm-hmm. It's just fantastic that people are taking time to do this. I have to talk about, now I tripped over this, my new favorite charted needlepoint design.
Okay.
I was rifling through County Canvas Needlepoint Facebook group, and Carol Young posted that she had just finished Curdy Biggs, Threedles, her Hexafoos, Hexafoos Hexafoos design in the Ephrata colorway. She explains what Ephrata means, and I didn't do the research to see what Hexafoos means, if anything. But holy smokes. I mean, I'm a fan of Curdy Big stuff anyway.
Yeah.
But that one, and I haven't heard back from her, but I'm sure it'll be okay with her if we use the picture to promote her design with the podcast. So I'm sure it'll be the featured picture. But if you're at all interested in charted needlepoint, wow, that's one to look at. Wow. Yeah. I just kind of stopped. It was one of those, I'm scrolling through and I stopped the mouse. Like, what's that? Oh my. Yes.
Yeah, that's one. Curdy Biggs is one that I'm that's on my imaginary pile of needlepoint or other project designs that I haven't kitted up but want to, and have resisted the urge and
yes.
exhibiting some willpower. So I have my pile of whips, my pile of things kitted to be whips, and then my imaginary pile of things that I want to be kitted.
Okay. Well, mine is not on an imaginary list. Mine is, I'll be acquiring that one. I have to have that one. So, I need another one, but I have to have that chart. I just have to.
Somebody asked me the other day, it was a question of, it was a group of people, and we were talking about things you do to like de-stress. And it was just something, you know, needlework is an easy answer, right?
Right.
But it was something like, what would you do like in a snap, you know, because needlework is something you have to, it takes a little bit of involvement. You have to set up and all of these things, but something, you know, that you can do in like in an instant.
Right.
And the answer was pick up a needlework book and just flip through it, or pick up a book of like flower designs or art and imagine how that can be interpreted in embroidery. That is something that I do
Ooh.
All the time.
Uh-huh.
So picking up like garden books, or like I said, I've talked about before, like seed catalogs and things like that, because they'll often photograph the flowers that the seeds will or bulbs will grow into pretty well, and think about how those would be in surface embroidery and things like that. So just looking through the books sometimes is good, or Jane Nicholas's books are good like that, or Trish Burr books are good. So even those are not even projects yet. They're just, you know, sort of twinkles in my eye sort of thing, you know, but I just pick them up and I'm like, oh, I'm going to do that one someday. And I'm going to do this one, or I'm going to do this, but a combination of this and this. And just by, you know, after like 3 minutes of that, whatever it was that was stressing me out is I've totally forgotten it.
There we go. Instant needlework gratification. There we go, right there.
Right. And yep. I don't even have to do it. It's just, you know, you get completely distracted into just imagining the things that you could do or that you want to do.
Yep.
And
well,
then,
that's a good one.
Then, yeah. And then you start looking at other books on the shelf, of like, you know, art books you know, not just needlework books, but like other kinds of books, like quilting books. Well, you know, you could do that in needlepoint. You know, other people have done that before. That's not anything new, but, you know, what else could be done in needlework? You know, what could I embroider?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what could that be?
Yep.
So and then I look at like, the design that I painted on the outside of my beehive, that would be a really good embroidery design. Aha. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I have to do that. And then before you know, whatever it was that you were thinking about is long gone.
Plus, you just gave a whole ton of people an excuse to buy needlework books. Because why are you buying that? You'll never stitch those. Oh, but I need it for stress release. It's really medicinal.
Exactly.
It's medicinal.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. My doctor prescribed a needlework book for my stress. Yes. Mm-hmm. I think that's the game right there.
Yep. I think so. I think old garden books or old botanical mm-hmm. books.
Yep.
Like botanical illustration books for me. Those I like a lot.
I'll be right back. I have to go order a couple books. Just give me a minute.
I can give you a list. So we'll have to do that. We'll do a tour of my bookshelf one day.
Okay.
And I'll just sit down next to my bookshelf and we'll go through and I'll pull books off the shelf and say, and I'll tell you which ones have been really, you know, good ones that are fun ones for me to look through.
Okay. All right.
That would actually be fun.
Yes.
That'd be fun. So, but I'm going to change the subject for now because I have a story or a thing to tell you that I've been dying to tell you for like a month and a half now.
Okay.
So you'll never believe what is the hottest new thing for teenagers now.
Uh-oh.
To wear.
Uh-oh.
Embroidered everything.
No.
Yes. Yes, and if I could catch a photo of my son without him knowing.
Like teenagers, boys and girls.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. So, I will tell you. So, I let my son, and I can only do this because I know he never listens to the podcast. he's 15 now, so he started kind of, you know, he actually cares what he wears, and he's started now ordering, like, his own clothes and picking out his own clothes because he's, you know, kind of hanging out with some different kids, and, you know, they, you know, he used to wear, like, all the gray t-shirts and jeans, and I guess they kind of said, you know, like, you should actually dress like a human being, so now he actually cares what he wears. So he decided to dress a little bit more stylish, and we live in you know, a little bit of a kind of preppy, near a university kind of neighborhood. So it's a little, I don't want to say affluent because that makes me sound affluent, which I'm absolutely not. But it there's a lot of that sort of kid. So there's really affluent areas and there's very middle class areas. So hangs out with a lot of affluent kids, but we're not that.
But the examples are rampant.
Correct. Exactly. So he's picking out these clothes. So I, you know, he just said, I'm going to order a bunch of stuff. And I said, sure, whatever, you know, and just let him pick. And I want him to be whatever he wants. You know, I want him to pick whatever clothing he wants. I'm not going to, you know,
right.
Tell him what to wear at all. I don't, you know, as long as it's not, you know, hate messages. I really don't care what he wears. He should be himself. So I made a cursory glance over what he was ordering and then placed the order. So the order comes back and I'm like, oh, let me see what you ordered. And he ordered a pair of sneakers and a couple of like hoodies and things like this. Comes in and I'm like, holy cow, I don't believe this. And then we ended up having this entire conversation that ended with him saying, wow, Mom, I can't believe this. This is so cool because we actually have something in common to talk about. And I almost fell out of my chair. Because by the end of the conversation, we were talking about things that he wanted me to embroider for him to put on clothes because we were co-designing pieces.
Oh, my.
Yes. So here's the thing. So he got a sweatshirt, like a hoodie. It's a white hoodie. And it's got Like, remember, sort of old style, you would call it, like tattoo style. It would be called American traditional style tattoo roses, like that real like stylized roses,
Okay, I got you. Yeah.
all down the sleeve. So a white sweatshirt with these red roses all up and down the sleeves, in that style, and then sneakers that have roses. So evidently that's a big theme. And then it's got like other things on there. So like embroidered flowers is a big thing, but not like daisies like it was when we were kids. They're like these sort of avant-garde things. There's a lot of like rock emblems and things being done. So we had this whole conversation because I'm like, "What? You're wearing embroidery?" And he's like, "Well, yeah." I'm like, "But that," I said, "you realize that's what I'm doing, like that?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, I guess it is." So we had this whole conversation, and I was talking about, we had, about, the symbolism of different flowers, and I said, Chuck Taylor's, like the old, basketball sneakers.
Right.
Said those are great for embroidery. Like I could embroider stuff to put on those. And he's like, that would be a great idea. So we talked about a design that we were going to do with like a lotus, and then Ganesh is a Hindu god that's, a symbol of like the good, and how you have to balance, the pain of life with, you have to have some good with the suffering. And so the broken tusk of Ganesh is balanced with the sweet. So we were going to put one sneaker with a broken tusk and one with a full tusk. And he's like getting into the whole design of it, and he's sketching it out for me. And it was a great thing.
Holy smokes.
I know. And then he's like, and we designed like a lotus that would go on the tongue of the sneaker, and then the tusks of the elephant on the outside. It was the coolest thing ever. So, and then he's like, "Wow, you could really do this. Like you could like sell these on Etsy or something." And I was just completely shocked because this is a thing. So if you go into like the teenagery type stores, embroidery is everywhere. It is a thing. I just want to tell you that.
Who knew? Wow.
Right? Because we've been talking over the past couple of years that it was sort of kids were getting into this whole maker thing.
Right.
And this is not made by kids, it's all machine embroidered. So for people who do machine embroidery, they could crank out stuff like crazy.
Yeah.
So, if somebody had an embroidery machine and could do things on demand, they could make a killing making things like, custom designs for kids. Like if I was so inclined, and I have an in with a kid, he could just get custom orders and
Right.
do them, quick and easy on a, because to do it by hand is just, it's not cost effective to really do that because it takes so long.
No, yeah, you could do it for your kid, but that's it. Yeah.
Right,
Yeah. Right.
exactly. But how cool is that?
Wow. That's
It's everywhere.
yeah, and yeah, it's the cell phone age. And what's cool is needle and thread stuff.
And it's not right. So it's this whole, sort of juxtaposition of this highly technological era, but then there's all of these, the opposite is true as well, where it's all these very non-techie type things.
Yeah.
And it's not just the girls either. The boys are wearing these embroidered things.
That's amazing.
It is,
Who
right?
knew?
I know. He took this stuff out. I'm like, is this? And then at first I was like, are you sure this is the right stuff? And he was thrilled. And I he wore stuff to school, and I'm like, how did that go? And he was like, wow, everybody's like, cool threads, man. I'm like, all right, okay. So yeah, so that's a thing. Just
And
letting you
even
know.
from a purely parent perspective, my son cares how he looks. You know, that's, you know what I
Yeah,
mean?
that's another thing, right?
Yeah.
Right? That Yeah, well, that I knew because, you know, he actually showers, and then, you know, he's got short hair and yet can manage to blow dry it for a half an hour. And I don't even know how you manage to do that without actually, you know, scorching yourself, but you know, it's that teenager thing. They go through that. So it's just they're just funny. But you know, we all did exactly the same thing.
Oh, yeah, in one form or another.
We all did exactly the same thing. It was just different. It was just different things. Like my husband was saying the other day, you know, because he's a teacher, he's like, all the girls walk around with holes in their pants. And I'm like, when I was in high school, we all did the same thing. We all walked around with holes in our pants too. It was just different holes. Like, don't you remember doing that? He's like, no, we didn't do that. And I'm like, well, what rock did you grow out of? Of course we did.
Because see, this embroidery on the clothes reminds me of, let's see, I graduated from high school in 73, so I grew up during the bell-bottom pant age.
Yes, exactly. And
And
there was tons of embroidery and
oh yeah,
patches.
patches, you know, who didn't have patches on their bell-bottom pants? You know, what's wrong with you?
Well, that's the thing. Patches are back. Patches are, you can go into Target and buy patches now. They are back in full force.
All right, because what was it? The ecology peace flag
Yes.
with the peace symbol in the star field and stripes in green. Yeah, that was, I know
It's a
I,
little
that,
bit of
yeah.
that. Yep, it's a little bit of that, but it's a little bit of like sort of the 80s rock things are
Okay.
kind of back. It's all these retro.
Nothing new under the sun, is there?
Nope.
Nope.
Nope. Not at
And they're
all.
all walking around thinking they're on the cutting edge. No.
I know, it's hilarious. It's hilarious. As did we, and then our parents were like, "You're so not original in any way."
You have no idea. Yep. Well,
So,
there's some insight right there. By golly. So
right, but
how many of these things are you actually going to stitch for him?
well, so I don't know. So I think I am actually gonna, if I can find the time, I might actually do the sneakers for him. Either for Christmas or more likely be late for Christmas, because I'm doing an ornament for him for Christmas, which I'm almost done with. So it's really just a matter of time of whether or not I can get it done. And then once I do the sneakers, then it's I don't know. I'll see what, you know, what he needs, because quite frankly, I can't keep up with a machine embroidered, mass produced thing. You know, so these would have to be, it would have to be things like sneakers and very specialized type things, because you know, the other things he can get anywhere.
And what is and that is the most amazing thing on the planet to me, the Chuck Taylor and Converse All-Star tennis shoes. Still, I saw somebody the other day with low cut Converse All-Star tennis shoes. Wow, how that hangs on.
I have three pairs of
Do
them.
you? I have zero pair, but yeah.
Yep, I
They
wear
still
them all the
comfortable?
time. Yep. I wear them to work a lot because I work in a factory. So, yeah, they're pretty, and well, also because of the business that I'm in there, it's a pretty, it's a very funky kind of brand that I work for. So Chucks are almost a uniform there. So, yeah, basketball sneakers are very much tolerated. So I'm either dressed very nicely or I'm dressed in jeans and sneakers. So, but and ch it that's interesting because when you talk about fabrics and textiles and Chuck Taylor's really, you know, they've changed, and every few years they'll do something interesting. So speaking of, so they've done things over the years. If you follow them, maybe I want to say 5 or 6 years ago, maybe a little longer, they did a whole series of sneakers using Marimekko fabrics, and I don't know if you're familiar with those,
Nope.
but they're I want to say Danish, but I could be wrong. They're either Danish or Finnish, but I'm pretty sure they're Danish fabrics. It was a Danish designer. So somebody correct me if I've got it wrong. But they're iconic fabrics from like the 60s and 70s. So they took those fabrics and used those to make sneakers. And I remember them from when I was a little girl, because they were so, they're very bold colors and very just very memorable designs. So when they came out on sneakers, I grabbed them because I just remember them from being a kid, and they were just from my childhood, right? So now the Chucks that they're selling now that are sort of the du jour are also embroidered, like eyelet sneakers and embroidered. So you can buy embroidered Chucks that are just from the company.
That's amazing.
There you go.
So yeah, all the things, and I mean, I can't think of any other clothing thing that has, that has held up. I mean, that's decades of making those shoes.
Look around though. If you just even just do a Google search on embroidered clothing, I thought it was just women's, like adult women's clothing. But no, it's trickled down to kids' clothing now too. Not little kids, but like teenagers' clothing. It's everywhere.
Oh, I'm so out of
Suddenly
touch.
we are relevant.
There, think about that. That's
I
deep. That's
know, I
deep.
know.
Wow. I'm gonna stick with the t-shirt, jeans, and flannel shirt. Yeah.
You're not an embroidered flannel shirt?
No, I'm just gonna
Are you
go.
sure?
Yeah, I'm just actually LL Bean chamois shirt is the favorite. I have a
That
nice
is the best shirt.
I have a nice collection of those. Matter of fact, two of them are going in the trash because they're even too threadbare for me now, which takes some doing, and two new ones are on the way. Yeah, that's the standard outfit. Yep. Because you can wear
Well,
that heavy shirt over a t-shirt, and then if you get too warm, you just take the heavy shirt off and then you're still good to go. And yeah, so that's the thing. And no, none of it's embroidered. No.
I think you're missing an opportunity.
Maybe, but I'm not
Just
doing it.
saying. Just
I'm not
saying.
doing it. Nope. I'm gonna stick with tried and true.
All right. Fine.
Fascinating, these kids these days. You're so old school, Jeremy.
I
I have mentioned because it isn't available for your end of the phone and tablet world, which is the Android, but the GoodReader app, which is what I use on my phone and on my iPad, because Christine does the Android end and I do all the Apple end of things. And GoodReader is easily the best app for reading and dealing with PDFs, easily. Actually, just about any kind of file, but PDFs in particular. And more than one person has used, is, and has used the GoodReader app to display their charts and then mark them off as they do a section. And came across what Ann Ballard in Stitch Mania was asking for something other than highlighting with a felt pen on a paper chart. And she showed a picture of her chart and it was all marked up as she was making her way through. And she said what the solvent, the ink solvent was giving her a headache or something. I don't remember what it was, but so she was looking for another way. And Kate Hampton posted a video that Carolyn Mazzeo, Mazzeo, did, and we'll have a link for that, where she takes you through how to use the GoodReader app. I mean, it's a good two. I watched the whole thing, 20 minutes. How to use the GoodReader app in general, but then how she uses it to put her charts up, and as a way of marking off her charts. And you have to be careful though, because as with all things, you got to check the date. This is one that she did in 2015, and I can tell you, I've had the GoodReader app easily that long, if not longer, and many updates since then. But the functionality, the basic functionality, is still intact. I mean, it's the interface is very usable, very easy to understand. And so she takes you through how to use it. And then but one thing that's pointed out is you may not be able to just block off individual blocks. So you might want to have one of those rubber tip pens for touchscreen things. And then you can just touch the blocks and mark them off that way, especially if you have confetti chart. But then she also shows how to draw circles and squares and things and black out areas so that you can see where you've been and so on and so forth. So it's just a really good video. She does a really nice job. Plus, she's from Australia, so you get the Australian accent during the whole 20 minutes, which is a huge plus. And so it takes you all the way through how to use GoodReader and use it as a Stitcher would use it. So highly recommend that. It's a good one.
Have I ever told you how I have used my phone in a pinch?
No.
To mark? Okay, so this was a purely born out of desperation measure. For reading a chart. I was stuck in a hotel. I had a chart. I had no magnifier and I couldn't read the chart with my poor eyesight. And I didn't want to mark on the chart itself. So what do you do? So this is the way I got around it. And this is something I think anybody could do if they needed to. So what I did was I took a photo with my phone of the area of the chart I was working on. And it was something, let's just say it was a cross stitch chart. It doesn't really matter. And then I opened up the photo, and just expanded it. Cause you know, on your phone, you can just, blow up the photo. Right. So the area I was working on was, it was a Christmas tree. Okay. So imagine a Christmas tree with branches sticking off. So as I stitched a branch, you know, I would blow it up so that I could see it large enough because there was no way I could see the chart the way it was charted without magnification because it wasn't cross stitch, it was embroidery and it was just way, way, way too tiny. So I took a photo of it, blew it up gigantic, and the other benefit of that is you can put the brightness on your phone way higher so that now you've got really good contrast, right? So now it's way brighter and way bigger. So I'd stitch a branch and then you put the photo on edit. So anybody can do that. You put touch your phone and the edit function will come up. And that's the thing you use to like draw on your picture or, you know, you can do most things people would normally use that to like adjust the contrast or the color or people do whatever, or they can write on your picture. So what I would do is when I finished an area, I would take my finger and just wipe it out. I would just draw a line over the branch that I had finished.
Yeah.
And then save the picture. And then go back and blow up another area and stitch that area and then draw a line over it. Because the other thing was that because there was like 9 million branches on it, I couldn't keep track of where I was without crossing it out, essentially.
Right.
So in a pinch, that worked out great because otherwise there was no way I was going to be able to stitch at all and the whole evening would have been wasted because I couldn't keep track of where I was and I couldn't read.
Right.
So as a stopgap measure, just take a photo of your chart and blow it up on your phone or a tablet's even better because you can make it gigantic. And then as you're working on it, just use your finger or your soft pen to just cross out the area you finished.
Right. Yep. Now that's a good one. And then see, now it reminds me of the trick that works particularly well for samplers, which is to take your chart and to a photocopy machine and blow it up and then cut out each motif and then just pin that on your linen so that it's right in front of your face. And so you see the whole, like each motif you see right there in front of you. And there's another way. Yeah.
Yep.
I like the phone thing though. That's Because even you say in a pinch, yeah, you say in a pinch, but you really, that's just an effective way all the way around.
Yeah, and for me, I'm always looking for things because I can't, my vision is so poor that it was just a good way to take a piece of paper, which is not particularly bright. And then you can, you know, if you need to, you can adjust the contrast and make it very black and white and
right.
make it a lot easier to see and make it as gigantic as you need to. And then stitch away and then just move, you know, as you stitch, you just move the photo over and move it one way or up or down and do whatever you need to do. And it just becomes, you know, a great seeing tool.
Mm-hmm.
So it serves as a magnifier, even though it's not.
Right. And you're right. Yeah. Turning up the brightness. Yeah. Big plus mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I'm basically useless, but you know, without a magnifier,
yep.
I really just struggle anything that's tiny. And then without light, you know, I just can't do anything at all. So that was there's no way I'm going to spend the whole evening with the stitching in front of me and not doing anything. So what can I do? And that was the answer.
And most of the Android, I don't keep up on the Android end, but most of the Android phones come with some kind of a pen, right?
No, none of them come with a pen, but you can just use your finger.
Okay. I thought that was kind of standard equipment with a lot of those phones. But,
No, okay. Nothing comes with a pen, but you can use your finger. And my iPhone, so I have a work iPhone, so now I kind of use both. And the iPhone, you would do exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
You just take a picture and blow it up, and then when you want to edit the photo, you just touch it, and the editing tools come up, and then you just basically just draw a line over what you did.
Yeah. There we go. Technology at work.
Yeah. I mean, anything to be able to see.
See, there we have the adults using the technology for stitching, and then we have the kids wanting the stitching on the clothes, see?
Yeah.
Opposite ends of the deal there. Yep. Outstanding. That's going to be it. That's a good one.
All right.
Now, Sunday, Allison Cole, going to Australia, Allison Cole, embroidery, gold work, the whole shooting match. Books, amazing talent. Teacher, yeah. That's going to be fun.
Yes.
Allison Cole. So that's Sunday. So if you don't know her, AllisonColeEmbroidery.au, I believe is what it is. You can check it out, and then we're going to talk to her, and that'll be Sunday. And that's it.
Take care.